So we left off last week. I don't think we finished on verse number 3. We were discussing the 2 points in the purport about how a sadhaka who's practicing bhakti will gradually, through the process of vaidhi sadhana, he will come to the platform of raganuga sadhana. And in raganuga sadhana, he will practice mantra upasana. Mantra upasana mai, meditation. And then that will bring him through nishta and to the platform of sarup realization and so many other realizations. And then he may be practicing this swarasiki meditation, continual meditation on the pastimes, astakali bhajan. And then that was the basic point. So we want to just finish up a little bit on swarasiki meditation. Prabhupada describes a process that's mentioned in Bhagavatam in in Chaitanya Charitamrita. You can read the Bengali. I didn't bring it with me. It's in Madhya Lila, chapter 8, Ramananda Samvag. These are the teachings of Ramananda Roy to Lord Chaitanya and to all of us. Chapter 8, verse 139. Prabhupada explains Bhaktivinoda Thakur, in this purport, he uses this verse in purport to give an indication, what does this Bhagavad Gita verse mean? Like, we always want to know the inner meaning of Bhagavad Gita. So Bhagavad Gita, 18th chapter, 54th verse, here's the famous verse we all know, Brahma Bhuta Prasanatma Nasochati Nakanchati Sama Sarveshu Bhuteshu Mad Bhaktim Labhate Param. This Brahma Bhuta platform, what is this Brahma Bhuta platform? So Bhaktivinoda Thakur explains that Brahma Bhuta means actually to understand your sarup. And we'll hear Prabhupada's purport. Bhaktivinoda Thakur considered the Brahma-Bhuta stage in two divisions. One, Sarupagata and Vastugata, which are mentioned in this Bengali, in this verse, Madhya Lila, chapter 8, verse 139. Because he's discussing here, because discussion between Ramananda Roy and Lord Chaitanya is about bhakti, about prema. So he's saying, okay, what is the highest thing? He said, the highest thing is Braja Prema. He said, well, how does one attain that? And he says, Varnashram Dharma, Karma Samarpanam, and all these things he goes through. Karma path, Jnana path, and finally bhakti. Then he starts to talk about pure bhakti, and then how to practice Vaidhi Sadhana, Raganuga Sadhana. That's all explained in Madhya Lila chapter 8. So this comes in that context. So he says, there's two divisions, Sarup Gata and Vastu Gata. I don't know if I read this, I don't think so. One who has understood Krishna in truth, but is still maintaining some material connection with his material body and identity, is known to be situated in his Sarup, his original consciousness. When that original consciousness is completely spiritual, it is called Krishna consciousness. One who lives in such consciousness is actually living in Vrindavan. He may live anywhere. Material location doesn't matter. By the grace of Krishna, when one thus advances, he becomes completely uncontaminated by the material body and mind. At that time, he factually lives in Vrindavan. This stage is called Vastugata. One should execute his spiritual activities in the Sarupgata stage of consciousness. He should also chant the Chinmayi, Gayatri. Chinmayi Gayatri means Brahma Gayatri. Om Bhur Bhuvaswa. Another name for it. He should chant Chinmayi Gayatri or Brahma Gayatri. The spiritual mantras, Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. And then the Gopal mantra and Kam Gayatri. Klim Krishnaya Govindaya Gopi Janavalavaya Swaha. Klim Kamadevaya Vidmehe. Pushpabanaya Dimehe. Tano Nanga Prachodiyat. Right, so Prabhupada is initiating everyone here in the purport. He's speaking here in public. These secret mantras that should never be printed in any book, right? Sometimes there's some discussion about that. How you can print a book with all this Gayatri mantras, right? I said, well, Gurudev did. Chaitanya Charitamrita. So here Prabhupada is giving everybody, but it's not like that. You don't just, I read it in a book, I'm initiated. Because the mantra is living. Radha and Krishna are living in the mantra, and they're living in the mantra within a person who has realized their life within his heart. And then when he says, I'm going to give this life from my heart to your heart. And that's called Guru Shishya. Then there's Diksha. And then he says, come here, offer your ear. I want your ear and your heart. And he pulls your ear, your right ear for this mantra. Other mantras are left ear. So he takes your right ear and then he says, all right, now, open your heart this one time. I'm going to put life there. The life, Krishna's life, Radha's life, your life, the life of Vrindavan. And that's initiation. And then you'll hear, then you'll see whether life comes in your heart or not. Whether your dead body comes back to life. Because in material life, we're dead, no? We're dead. We're dead to the spiritual world. We're dead to our spiritual identity. We're dead to spiritual rasa and bhav and prema. We're dead to these things. But when mantra comes, then at least life is there. Now we may kill that life. Or we may give some sleeping pill to that life. Like person's living and you say, take this sleeping pill. Then he looks like he's dead. He's asleep. And he may sleep for a long time. So you may get that living mantra from Guru, from living Guru. But then you may put it to sleep. Because you're not chanting, you're neglecting. If you don't feed someone, then naturally they die, no? That's another discussion. So this is not that you just read in a book and you're initiated. This is a little more than that. You don't just read, you read, oh yes. Some lady just reads, she gets one book on anatomy or physiology, and she reads about the process of human reproduction. She says, oh, I read about human reproduction. Oh, now I'm pregnant. Is it like that? Yeah, I read about it here. There's a description here, and the pictures, everything, full color, you know, in America, in the textbooks, everything there. So am I pregnant now? Oh, yes. Yeah, no, I'm Ritvik from the Gray's Anatomy. I'm Ritvik, Guyton's Physiology. I'm a Ritvik, he's my husband, Mr. Guyton. I took initiation through his physiology book. Now I'm pregnant. No, I'm sorry, sir. This is not this Guru Parampara. Guru Parampara, what does it mean? It means life comes from life. Like, right, your mother has life, and she gives you a chain. She takes a little piece of her life, and she stretches it out. Right? And she connects herself to yourself through the umbilical cord, and her life flows into you through the disciplic succession from mother to son. Through that chain, or you're connected by a chain to your mother, it's umbilical cord. It's the stem of the lotus, yeah, it's exactly what it is. It's the same thing. It's actually the same thing. Exactly right. The lotus flower, just like the navels, we say Queen Kunti glorified Krishna. She said, oh, namo pankajanabhaya, namo pankajamalane, namo pankajanetraya, namo pankajamalane. It's like this, and she's glorifying. She said, oh Krishna, your eyes, namo pankajanetraya, your eyes are like lotus flowers, and your navel, namo pankajanabhaya, your nabha, your navel is like a lotus flower. So from that lotus flower, so the child has a navel, and he's sitting on the top of that navel, right? And then that navel has a stem, and that stem goes to his mother. So Brahma is a child of Vishnu, right? And he's sitting on Garbhadaksha Vishnu. He's sitting on top of that lotus flower, and that stem is connected to whom? To Vishnu. He's the mother. That's the umbilical cord, that lotus. And so many things, right? There it is. There. So he's saying here in this finishes purport. So these mantras, so you carry on in your bhajan, in your devotional service, and you chant the spiritual mantras and the Chinmaya Gayatri, Brahma Gayatri, and then gradually this will develop. Now, I've in my own notes, I've kind of explained this a little bit more. I want to read that too. This whole discussion it's being given in verse number 3 is all about Raghunuga Bhakti. And of course we don't discuss Raghunuga Bhakti, but when we discuss Brahma Samhita, we have to discuss Raghunuga Bhakti because this is the subject matter of this book. So on the path of Raganuga Sadhana Bhakti, we have to learn how to enter the pastimes of Radha and Krishna. How do we enter the pastimes of Radha and Krishna? By engaging in pure devotional service, which includes practices like mantra upasana, right? Mantra upasana, which I discussed about the example. Everyone was here last Thursday for the example, the class where I read from the Prabhupada's Bhagavatam, the example of Mother Yashoda, how this verse is for those that are interested in Vatsalya Bhav. They should read this description of Mother Yashoda, the way her body's moving and she's singing, right? That's in the 10th canto of Bhagavatam. That was in Thursday's class. So that verse and that discussion of purport, Prabhupada's saying this is very good for one who wants to advance in the affection of a mother for a child, to take verses like this from Bhagavatam and meditate on them. How do we meditate on them? When we chant the Gopal mantra, when we chant Kam Gayatri or Brahma Gayatri, we say, well, I don't have those. Well, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna. So you chant this mantra and meditate, the same you'll get. A siddha or perfect person is called Swarupgata or Vastugata. So this purport Prabhupada is discussing here, Vastugata and Swarupgata. In Madhya Lila, chapter 8, verse 139, he's saying that when one comes to this platform of perfection, well, the first perfection of Swarupgata, that comes in the level of Nishta. At the end of Nishta, as one's going to Ruchi, one will begin to have some basic, like you can say, inclination towards a particular bhav. And then as he approaches through Ruchi to Asakti, then when he comes into bhav itself, bhava bhakti, then it becomes fully, very, very clear what his sarup is. But still, so there's a lower stage of Srupagata, which is a lower stage of mantra upasana meditation, which begins in Nishta, the upper stage of Nishta. And then as you progress in bhava bhakti, you progress also in your bhajan, and then you come to this vastu siddhi, which is at the level of prema. You know, through the end of bhava bhakti and prema. Prema is when you realize fully, and that's what Prabhupada said, the pure stage of Krishna consciousness, pure uncontaminated stage, where you can see Vrindavan everywhere and see Krishna's pastimes everywhere. So the Bhagavad Gita verse 18:15:4 describes a liberated person who understands Krishna, but he still has some connections or considerations with the material world. As in Swarup Siddhi, or Swarup, which is called Swarupgata. Swarupgata means Swarup Siddhi. You've realized your actual form. And what does realization mean? Just like, what does it mean when you say sunrise? Does sunrise mean joop? It's in the sky. No, sunrise includes different phases. So Swarup Siddhi has different phases. Everything, this whole process of bhakti, it's like Prabhupada says, it's a gradual process. Like the process of the day beginning or the day manifesting itself is a gradual process. First there's a little less darkness and a little more light, right? You say, wait a minute, is it still night? No, it's very dark, but not as dark as it was 2 hours ago. Now it's less dark and less dark and the more light and more, and then da, 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 and then 12 o'clock, is there any darkness? No. Then it's full light. So the same thing with these practices. They become a little enlightenment, a little vision, just like we'll get to that, describing the actual spiritual level of attainment of Brahma and how he had that realization. He had some understanding of a sarup. He said, I had some understanding. And that process will be touched a little bit on in this verse in relation to Gopal mantra. By continuing the practice of chanting Hare Krishna and Gayatri, gradually we attain the platform of Vastu Siddhi or Vastugata, when we actually at that time enter Krishna's pastimes in a perfectly pure spiritual body. The example of that is a person in Vastu Siddhi is Raghunath Das Goswami, Sri Rupa Raghunatha Pari Hoivaya Kuti. We want to follow Rupa and Raghunath. So Raghunath, he's showing us externally that we must follow a very austere path according to our varna and ashram. Austerities differ according to your varna and your ashram. The austerities of a sannyasi are not the same as the austerities of a grihastha. So there's different rules and principles and regulations that must be followed. So Raghunath Das Goswami, externally he showed a very renounced position. But we're not, you know, so we know there's anusharan and anukaran. There's following in the footsteps and imitation. So we follow his example. So he set the example as all the Goswamis set, and Srinivas described it. We must follow this example. What example? In the sixth verse, Sankhya Purvaka Nama Gana Natabi Kalavasani Krito. So, Nidra Haravihara Kari Vijito. But what was that was their external example. What was their internal example? Gopi Bhava, was it? Gopi Bhava? Rasa. Gopi Bhava Rasa Samritya. Madhurima. They were completely lost. They were lost to this world because they were in Vastu City. So they externally existed and showed a very austere path, always counting the name. We have to also count the name. And Natibi means very humble. Natibi, Sankhya Purva Kadagana Nama, Natibi. Natibi means show all utmost humility to every living entity and respect to everyone. And it also includes Dandavats and Prikama, many things. So then internally he was meditating and entering a Leela. So he shows his... He shows that aspect of the six Goswami prayers in this Vilapkusamanjali, which is quoted in Chaitanya Charitamrita, a few verses. So in Vilapkusamanjali, he shows the example of a person who's living in the material body, but he's attained Vastu Gata, or this Vastu City. He's in the material body, you can touch him, but he's fully realized in his Sarup, and in that Sarup, fully in his Vastu, his spiritual body, he enters into pastimes and engages there as Rati Manjari. So that's the point. Now, how to like pull this together? Prabhupada also discusses now our bhajan more specifically. And there's some quotations from some verses. From Adi Leela chapter 5, 221. Yanya dhyana nijaloke kari padma asan ashtadash kara mantra kari upasan. Lord Brahma sat on the lotus seat in his own abode, always meditating on Krishna, and worships Krishna with a mantra consisting of 18 syllables. The ashtadasha kshara mantra, right? What is that mantra? The 18 syllable mantra? Is that some secret? What is this mantra? We sit in a Padma... What is a Padma Asan? Padma Asan. You're sitting in Padma Asan. So many Brahmas are here. And you may even be doing this meditation. You may think, well, why bother? I think the basic idea is I should meditate. So I have 1 hour with the Swami, so I'll just meditate on this mantra. So what is that mantra? Gopal mantra. How does it begin? Klim Krishnaya Govindaya... So, now the purport, Prabhupada's purport. In his own planet, Brahma, with the inhabitants of that planet, worships the form of Lord Govinda. Okay, sounds the same. Okay, we live in our own planet, right? This is an earth planet, and we live with a group of inhabitants or denizens, and jana people. We live in Vrindavan, which is really not part of this planet. It's a spiritual world. And we worship Govinda. And he worshiped Govinda by the mantra, 18 syllables, which is there. Those who are initiated by a bona fide spiritual master and who chant Gayatri mantra 3 times a day, they know this as the 18 syllable mantra. The inhabitants of Brahmaloka and the planets below Brahmaloka worship Govinda by meditating with this mantra. So everybody's chanting this same mantra in the whole universe. The whole universe is vibrating with the Gopal mantra or Krishna mantra. When you sit down for your Gayatri, there's somebody up in Brahmaloka chanting Gayatri right with you. You ever saw that person? No. But they're up there, they're way up there. And everybody. This is an open secret. It's mantra everyone. There's no different now, Prabhupada. Now this is where Prabhupada kind of brings some kind of connection here. There is no difference between meditating and chanting. But In the present age, meditation is not possible in this planet. Right? In Brahmaloka, you can. Right? Tapaloka, Janaloka, Maharloka, Brahmaloka, these higher planets, Brahmaloka is topmost. Satyaloka, Tapaloka, they're way up there. So they're pervaded by a higher mode of nature. Even in the Kali Yuga, their mode of goodness is tremendous. So they can do meditation. But down here, too many distractions. Therefore, loud chanting of a mantra like the Maha Mantra Hare Krishna with soft chanting of Gayatri or the Gopal Mantra is recommended. Okay, well, they're definitely following that instruction of Prabhupada. Loudly chanting. Now Prabhupada says another thing to develop his point. In the purport to Madhya Lila chapter 21, verse 145, Prabhupada said, in other words, because when you chant Gopal Mantra, eventually what will happen? Well, what happened to Brahma? Well, we'll find out if we don't remember, or we don't know. Brahma chanted Gopal Mantra, then he heard Krishna's flute. But of course, it's very quiet up in Brahmaloka. There's no loudspeakers up there. So he was able to hear the flute. I mean, if you went to Radhakund and you meditated and you actually had such purity of meditation, and Krishna's sending his flute vibration to your heart, you couldn't hear it. The flute is a very soft, gentle sound. Ooh. It's like, wah! And it's like, and Krishna keeps saying, look, I'm playing my flute. Can't this guy hear it? And you're there like, klim, Krishna. And Krishna's saying, look, I'm sending, don't you hear my flute? He said, I'm trying, but there's so much noise here. So then, if you're actually close to Krishna, then he'll enlighten you from the heart. Hey, go from this place. Go somewhere else and meditate. And so you can hear me calling you with the flute. And I'm calling you. Because I don't think anybody out there is going to hear the sound of Krishna's flute. It's not possible. So Prabhupada explains that, in other words, a devotee who has heard the sound of Krishna's flute forgets to talk or hear of any other subject. This vibration of Krishna's flute is represented by the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. A serious devotee of the Lord who chants and hears this transcendental vibration of Hare Krishna Mantra becomes so accustomed to it that he cannot divert his attention to any subject matter not related to Krishna's blissful characteristics and paraphernalia. So Prabhupada's saying that if a person hears the sound of Krishna's flute, he'll be taken out of this world by the sound of Krishna's flute, and he will become fixed in consciousness. And when he's fixed in consciousness, you'll see his activities are also fixed. He'll only speak and hear and chant about Krishna. So he's come out of this world. He's come out of this world of Gramyakata. He's come out of this world of society, friendship, and love. Although he may look like he's in this world, you see him or see her. But by hearing the sound of Krishna's flute, Krishna has called them and signaled them out and picked them and called them out of this world. Now they're existing in another world. What is that world? That's the world of Krishna's family and Krishna's society and Krishna's service and friendship or in friendship or in love or in parental love. And he's engaged no longer in Gramyakata but Harikata. Right? And he's absorbed in all these activities. So that's what Prabhupada said, that sound of Krishna's flute is in the Yugal Mantra because Radha is standing next to Krishna. And if Krishna is standing next to Radharani, then sometimes Krishna plays his flute for Radharani. And sometimes Radharani plays her veena for him. And sometimes they play together. Sometimes Radharani plays the veena. So Hare is playing veena and Krishna is dancing around Hare. Hare, 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 Hare Krishna. And sometimes Krishna is playing the flute, Krishna, Krishna, and Hare, Hare, Radharani is dancing around Krishna. Right? So sometimes he plays the flute and she dances, sometimes she plays the veena and he dances. So this is Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. Right? Prabhupada said, the sound of Krishna's flute. We hear that sound? We see this pastime? Well, I don't know. Maybe. Yeah, sure. Why not? Just now I saw, before I came to class. Gurudev sees, Prabhupada sees like this, right? He's our Gurudev, he's our Shiksha Guru, Diksha Guru. And he's telling us, okay, don't you read all this discussion in Ramananda Samvag, and you read all this Brahma Samhita, and you hear all this discussion about Gopal Mantra and Kam Gayatri, and you're thinking, oh, wow, gee whiz. And I don't got it. I didn't get it. I didn't hear it, or no one gave it to me. I heard it upside down, or inside out, or under the water, or whatever. But this Maha Mantra. So, Prabhupada kind of brings these discussions back to the Maha Mantra. He discusses it in his purports, and the Brahma Samhita is discussing about this these processes. The Prabhupada kind of explains that. Now I want to move ahead a little bit to another point. About the purport, we may be a little confused when we read this. If you have your books, we can look at this. I want to explain this part of the purport. This is page 8, on the bottom. Please, you read this, I'll read out loud, and you please look at your book, and you'll get a better experience. It's on the bottom, and it starts after the italicized, it says Sri Hari Bhakti Vilas. On the right-hand side, it begins with the word the. You see that? The general meaning. Everyone sees that? The general meaning. You have that? Everyone agrees. Okay, now you please listen. The general meaning is that one who is desirous of entering into the esoteric pastimes of Krishna will have to practice his transcendental service along with the culture of the devotional knowledge relative to Krishna. Right? Which means, number one, that's the meaning. In other words, another way of saying that what I just read is one's relationship with Krishna is established when these six truths are realized. So we discussed how you realize your relationship with Krishna. We discussed through mantra upasana. And finally, when it's realized, you'll engage in swarasiki meditation. And we described something of that, how you do that. And then today we described how you will chant these Gayatri mantras and meditate on these different verses. Or you will chant Hare Krishna mantra and you also hear the sound of Krishna's flute. And you can also chant Hare Krishna mantra and meditate on particular verses of Bhagavatam or other rasa granths or devotional scriptures that describe a particular mood of devotion that you're interested in, like Sakya Ras or Vatsalya Ras or Madhurya Ras, by chanting Hare Krishna mantra along with that meditation of reading the verse. So that's called mantra upasana. The Prabhupada includes that you can perform that also with chanting Hare Krishna. And then, so what happens is that these six aspects will have to be realized one by one to realize your individual sarup. And these six aspects will be gradually realized with the development of devotional service. And these six aspects are represented by the Gopal Mantra. The Gopal Mantra is divided into six divisions. We didn't have a chance, but we wrote on the board. Remember last week, there's one devotee, this devotee I think, he wrote the symbol, the yantra for the Gopal Mantra, the basic. There's a little few more parts. But it's the Linga and Yoni, the two pyramids interlocking. And then in the center is the Klim, the pivot point with Radha and Krishna. Then there's six corners, right? There were six corners. Remember on the top there was Krishnaya. Maybe you wrote it down, you drew a picture of it. There was Krishnaya, then there was Govindaya in one corner, then there was Gopijana in one corner, and Vallabha in one corner, and Swa in one corner, and Ha in one corner. Remember? So the six sides of the mantra, the six, it's called the hexagon, the six-sided mantra. The yantra has six sides. The yantra was that geometric design of those two pyramids. That's the yantra for the Gopal mantra. And that yantra has six sides. It's called Ashta, it's called... What's it called? Not Ashtu, Satkon or something. Satkon means six corners. So in those six corners are these six different parts of the Gopal mantra. What are the six parts? These six words. Everyone clear? They understand? Right? Any question on that description? Krishnaya is one corner, one part, one mantra. Right? Klim is in the center. Klim is Radha and Krishna. Or can represent just Krishna for some particular devotees. So Klim is in the center as the pivot point. Pivot point means it turns. It's turning around, you know, like an axle. Like a wheel has an axle and it turns around. So the center is the axle. So the center of this yantra is this Radha and Krishna. Of course, they're turning around. And that center point, that pivot point, is called Rasleela. And that's more esoteric things. But. So this these six mantras have six parts. And that's what this verse is talking about in the purport. These six numbers here describe the six different words of the mantra. So now we're going to explain it to you. One's relationship with the Lord is established when these six truths are revealed. So these six truths can be revealed by chanting the Gopal mantra, which along with that revelation will be hearing Krishna's flute. That's the final revelation. But as you chant the Gopal mantra, these six different aspects will be gradually realized more and more and more. And if you're properly chanting right now the Gopal mantra, you're realizing these six different aspects right now. If you're not, then Haribo. So I'm just giving the principles, and you have to work out the details. Or Prabhupada's saying that because Gopal mantra leads to the sound of Krishna's flute. But what other mantra leads to the sound of Krishna's flute? What other mantra leads to hearing the sound of Krishna's flute in your two little ears? The Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. I just discussed that. Is it right? So now you can also realize these six different aspects, which are, what are they? These are how you will realize your relationship with the Lord, when these six truths are established. So chanting the Hare Krishna mantra, you will establish these six truths in your life. So the first word of the mantra is Krishnaya, right? At the top of the yantra, there was Krishnaya. We should actually keep that on every day, put that on the board. Someone's service can be to do that. I'll pick someone, and every day for now, we'll have that yantra on the board. Krishna yantra, Gopal mantra, yantra. So the first word on the top is Krishnaya. So Krishnaya is represented here by number one. When you chant in the Gopal mantra Krishnaya, that word Krishnaya will reveal the Sarup of Krishna. Sarup of Krishna means the form of Krishna. Right? Yam Shama Sundaram Achintya Guna Sarupam. Right? The beautiful Tribhanga Lalitam Niyata Prakasham. You see, he's down there, no? So the first word you're chanting Klim Krishnaya. So someday when you chant Krishnaya, you will see Krishnaya, Govindaya, Shamasundaraya, Damodaraya, right? Gopalaya, Govindaya. You're seeing? Yes. Okay, I haven't seen everything, but I saw his toe. Okay, very good. Keep chanting. No, well, I didn't see his toe, but I saw the 18 symbols on the bottom of his feet. I saw one time a footprint in my mind, I was in Nandagaon, and I saw some footprints, and a cow's footprint was there. Then I saw Krishna, and I bent down, and I saw the symbols. I saw once when I was chanting. Oh, very good. This is very good. So gradually we'll realize Krishna Sarupam, Krishnaya, Klim, Krishnaya, Krishna Sarup, the proper self of Krishna. That's the way they say it. Basically, when they say proper self, they mean the intrinsic form. Now you say, what does intrinsic mean? What does the word intrinsic mean? Well, I looked it up. It means the eternal form, the permanent form, the essential form, the inherent form, the intrinsic, because that word is used here everywhere. It talks about the intrinsic form, that's in the commentary. Here it doesn't say that. So when it says the proper proper self of Krishna means the intrinsic form, Krishna Sarup, right? Just as it says, Krishna Sarup. Now, this number two says, Krishnasya Chinmaya Brajalila Vilas Sarup, right? What word is that in the mantra? What's the second word? Govindaya. So what does Govindaya give you? You tell me, what does Govindaya give you? You get pastimes. You get Krishnasya Chinmaya Brajalila Vilas Sarup. I don't know what it is. Sounds good. Yeah, Brajalila. Yeah, Brajalila. Okay, I'll take some of that. Brajalila. Sarup. Some Sarup. Yeah, Sarup is good. Chinmoy. Oh, that's some kind of spiritual thing, I think. Chinmoy. I heard about it. Krishna, yeah, okay. So what will the word Govinda give you when you chant Govinda? Govinda will give you this. The intrinsic form of Krishna's transcendental pastimes in Braja. The intrinsic form. What does intrinsic mean? The permanent form, the eternal form, the inherent form. Right? The word intrinsic. Intrinsic. In other words, when you chant Govindaya, you will see some pastimes of Krishna in Sakya Ras, in Vatsalya Ras, in Madhurya Ras, depending on your level of advancement. Or it may cause you, when you're chanting Gopa Mantra, sometimes you're chanting and some pastime just kind of flickers into your mind. Krishna pastime. I mean, not some other Jada, you know, Leela, but transcendental, Divya Leela. Now we're at number three. Tatparikara Gopijana Sarup. The true nature of his spiritual associates in Braj. Namely, the spiritual milkmen and the milkmaids. That means that you'll, the third, and what word is that? Gopijana, right? The mantra has six words and six corners, and the yantra has six corners or six words, right? So it's Krishnaya, Govindaya, Gopijana. So this is why the mantra, this is why it's broken. This is why the mantra is broken. Gopijana. Gopijana means Gopijana. Well, Gopijana means so many Gopijanas. It means the Gopas. So when people chant Gopijana, that part of the mantra, and they meditate Gopijana, those in Sakiras, they will see the associates of Krishna and Sakiras by that mantra. That's what it says. What does it say? In number three in the Sanskrit, it says, the Parikar, Tat, he says, those, Tat Parikar, Gopijana Sarup. So the Sarup, the form of this word Gopijana, the word Gopijana in the mantra, will give you darshan and realization of the parikar. Parikar means parishads. Parishads means family members. Family members means the eternal associates of Krishna. You'll see Sridham. You'll see Subal. If you're in Sakiras. Then the next word, then the next part of the mantra meditation is Gopi Jana Balava. Balava, the beloved, the Kanta, the lover, the Ramani. Then that's number four, Tadvalabha, right? That's word number four in the Gopal mantra. That's corner number four, and that's the fourth thing that... So these are all different steps and different realizations that one has to realize in order to realize his eternal relationship with Krishna. So number four is Valabha. So that word will give the intrinsic form of full self-surrender to Krishna in the wake of the gopis. He says here, the true nature of self-surrender to Krishna in the footsteps of the spiritual milkmaids of Braja. So, self-surrender means atma-samarpanam, or sharanagati, or so many words are there. It means you surrender everything. So the ideal example of that, the topmost perfectional example of full self-surrender is the gopis of Vrindavan. There's no higher, more surrendered devotees. But we may not be aspiring to come to that level of realization or that bhava or that kind of ras. But we have that kind of surrender. We can pray to the gopis that please, when this part of the mantra will give this type of power of surrender to come into our heart and mind and life, this Vallabha. Because this Vallabha, of course, represents the gopis. Vallabha means the lover of the gopis. This part is not just the gopi janas. The gopi janas, which means, it means the gopa janas and the gopi janas. But this Vallabha is this reserve. It explains the mood of self-surrender to the gopis. But that mood is also there in the gopas, and that mood is also there in the mothers. Krishna's datris and his matas, Rohini and Yashoda and Kalimba and Ambika and Mukara and all these different, and Purnamasi, they're all in this, have this touch of Vatsalya Bhav. So they're in this mood of self-surrender, but in a little less degree than the Vallabhas, than the gopis. Now we go on. Now the last two words of the Gopal Mantra are the last six corners of the Yantra. One is Swa and one is Ha. Swaha. So Swa is number five. So what is Swa? Five reveal and must be revealed to understand your relationship with Krishna? Shuddha Jivasya Chid Gyan Sarup. It means the true nature of the spiritual knowledge of the unalloyed individual soul. In other words, pure soul's divine intrinsic form. This means that this word swa means my own, swa. Like Swayam Bhagavan, the original, the personal form, the topmost form, Swayam, swa, means my own. So when we're chanting this Gopal Mantra, I will have realization gradually of my own form. What is my bhav? What is my nitya bhav? What is my nitya ras? What is my sarup? Gradually, it will come. Gradually. It means slowly. Now maybe nothing, but it will come. So this is swa. So that's what's mentioned. That the sarup. Swa means your personal rup, your personal spiritual body. Then the last part is chit prakritir. Artat Krishna Seva Subhav. The true nature of transcendental service to Krishna is this, that the esoteric relation is established on the awakening of pure cognition. So what this means is the intrinsic nature of the soul is to render divine service unto Krishna. So what this means is this prakriti, the chit prakriti, Krishna Seva Subhav. As you realize your sarup, naturally, that's it, your sarup. When you realize your sarup and begin to realize your sarup, there's a particular ras. And this word ha means to take away or to give, to offer. Swaha means to give everything, to surrender everything, to give everything. So you'll be revealed, this word ha will reveal what is your swabhav, what is your particular seva. Now you have some sarup, you have some identity. Some form, but what will your seva? What seva will be revealed to you? What will your service be there? And then there's other 11 different aspects. Just like Brahma chanted this mantra and he understood something of his form, that I'm a maidservant. This is explained later. And that I have some service. But the particulars, he says, the particulars about my service were not yet revealed. So more chanting may be required. So that we'll also discuss later. Srila Prabhupada ki, Sri Brahma Samhita ki.